You're listening to the Collaboration Twins podcast with me, Kelly.
And me, Rob. I hope you guys enjoy it.
And welcome back to season 2, episode 11 of the Collaboration Twins podcast. And you're probably thinking, where the fuck have we been?
Yeah.
It's been quiet.
We were only discussing this yesterday. It's about almost 2 months.
No, it's not been 2 months.
6 weeks.
You're pushing that, yeah.
Yeah.
Basically.
So, hi everyone.
Hi. Basically, what happened is we entered the festive period, and as you know, things prop up, don't they?
Mm.
Meeting friends, getting out with the twins, seeing family, getting shopping. And we kind of took the decision between us that it's going to be too much around this time, trying to work, trying to do a podcast, trying to get all the Christmassy stuff in,
yeah.
Especially when we're going out and not coming back till late. So we kind of thought we'd have a bit of a break.
Mm.
And there's a bit more to it, which we're going to talk about tonight, all about mum burnout. But interestingly, I had a memory pop up on my laptop because I've smashed my phone, so I haven't had a phone for about pushing 3 weeks, that we actually started our podcast pretty much a year ago today. So happy first year to the Collaboration Twins podcast, and thank you to everyone who's been watching, following.
Internationally as well.
Internationally, and still downloading, even though we haven't put an episode out for about 5 weeks.
Appreciate the listens, everyone.
So thank you.
I think looked on the stats over like Christmas, I think it was like, I don't know, X amount of dozens of countries that we've been in. And we're like, we're top eight, I think it's like top eight countries, top UK, top parenting podcast in the UK. And also in about 7 or 8 different countries. So New Zealand. Mental, isn't it?
I know, crazy. So we really do appreciate it. And I have connected with so many women, I don't know.
Mm.
Probably pushing up to 100 now.
Mm.
The amount of people that have either commented, shared, liked, or personally reached out. So thank you. And a few people have checked up on me as well. So we have kind of made the decision. We've got a lot going on now. I am well underway with my study and trying to be a counsellor. Working as a mum, Ted and Erin are a lot older now, very much on the move. And I think in the early days, there's so much to take on board with the how do you cope with feeding, sleeping, changing, get them out of the house. There was a lot of content.
Mm.
And what we're finding now, they're 20 months old tomorrow, is we don't need to put out a podcast every week. I feel like if we're going to be doing it, it's going to be for the sake of it, and there's not true value in what we need to say.
Yeah.
So we've decided that we're going to do it once a month, and we're going to release, what, the first Monday of every month?
Yeah.
Obviously, this was a bit different because the Monday was the 1st of January this month.
Yeah.
But we're going to record on a Sunday night, and we're going to put the new episode out once a month, the first Monday of every month. And the content is going to be of more value because then we've got a month to talk about what's happening.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. And also, God, what was I going to say then, actually? And also, like, as of when you get your phone back, I think we're going to be doing more of the daily stuff that we come across back on the Instagram page, isn't it?
Yeah, I had started to just put my camera on somewhere, film, and then actually show how I play with them.
Yeah.
Because at this stage now, it's all about developing language, developing play, how I'm managing tantrums, which I'm a little bit dubious about putting on because I don't want to film them having a tantrum. If it just so happens to turn into a mini tantrum whilst I'm filming, I will put it up, but you will never see me miss a tantrum getting out my phone to record that so I can show you how to deal with that, because I think that's completely unethical, completely inappropriate. And also, Ted and Erin at some point are going to grow up and they're going to be able to see all this. And I don't want them to look back and think, Mum made a reel about me having a meltdown. That's not really caring, is it? And yeah, more the day-to-day stuff, just to normalise it. And yeah, so you don't feel so alone.
I think from your part, and what you bring well to it is the communications that we're having with the kids at the moment. Mm-hmm. And as that develops through. So I'm looking forward to like our new found version. of what we're looking to do in 2024, really.
Yeah, definitely. So, Rob, let's do a bit of a roundup of Christmas now. And if you have followed us on Instagram, you have seen that we baby-proofed our Christmas tree. Mm. We toddler-proofed the Christmas tree in that we basically put the tree inside the octagon playpen.
Mm.
And we had to move all the baubles just up out of reach. So the top two thirds of the tree was decorated and there was a giant barrier around it. So how do you feel that went?
I actually think that went pretty well. Mm. I do think, though, because we put the presents inside it as well, which weighed it down, there was less ability. Because the bit I was scared about was us putting it into it, and then they had like this octagon thing where they started to do that shaking of it. Mm. It was going to be the octagon and the tree and everything else coming down on it. But actually, it worked out really well. I think it worked really well.
Yeah.
Contained it. I mean, now the octagon's now completely gone.
Yeah, we've actually got rid of it. They're at the point now, aren't they, where, as I said, they're 20 months old tomorrow. So when this goes out, they'll be 20 months. And they need that free float. They need to be able to move in between two or three rooms. So we use the front room. They like to go into the kitchen and just, you know, be in that space while I'm making a cup of tea or washing up. And then that leads into our conservatory, which is like a back playroom. And I think having that free flow works really well for them. It's definitely stopped a lot of the behaviour isn't as, they're not having as many meltdowns because they're not confined to one room. And actually they need to move this, you know, they can't get their little legs moving around. And
also we got our lounge back a bit more, haven't we?
Definitely. Yeah. They don't need to be contained. They're at a point now where I can say to them, you know, mummy's going to the toilet. They know what that means. Normally it means, right, we've got about 2 minutes to really go for some twins.
To fuck shit up.
Should we get on the shelf? Should we try and get
take all the pillows away from the sofa?
Should we chuck all the pillows on the floor? Like, she's going to be pissing for at least a minute.
Should we try and climb up on the window ledge? And I think, actually, like, the actual before the setup is actually, we used to use the camera that we're filming this on used to be in the actual playpen.
Yeah. And that's why our positions change. If you're watching us on YouTube, hi, we're able to actually sit more face to face on the sofa.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
And so, other stuff in Christmas, Santa.
Oh.
Actually, first as kids thought Christmas was actually called Santa. So everything was called Santa, according to Ted. Like, and then, but then it became magical though, because like, you know, like, they love the lights.
Wow. Lights is what they used to say, wasn't it?
Lights.
Wow.
They still do it now because there's a couple of people still haven't got their stuff down. And like, oh my God, lights. Even when we went to the party today, they had some like little lights out in the front of that hall.
Mm.
And Erin, as I was putting the car, she was going, lights.
They very quickly worked out that there's a picture of Santa and chocolate comes out of it every day.
Yeah.
That was a bomb.
And your
it?
Favourite movie?
Oh. Elf Pets. Santa, St. Bernard, Save Christmas. Yeah. I don't know how many fucking times I had to watch that. It got to a point where they would just be like, Santa doggies? And I know what they meant.
Yeah.
But they loved it and it was really nice.
We did Christmas boxes, didn't we, as well?
We did their Christmas Eve boxes, oh my God, they went to a new level of hype, didn't they? It was lovely. On the day when they were getting presents, they were loving it, but they didn't know, did they, that they were going to get presents. They just thought, this whole Santa shit is amazing. I get chocolate every day. There's lights everywhere. And actually they did start to leave the tree alone after a while. Mm. After about a week and a half, maybe 10 days, the tree never got, every now and again, they'd go for another little.
But then actually saying that, we had the tree out in the back conservatory, didn't we? The second tree.
Yeah.
And that didn't get too smashed up at all, did it?
Not that you saw, no.
No, but considering, like, you think it'd be, like, completely annihilated.
No, they...
Because that wasn't locked away.
I think they very... Initially, they're going to play with it, as you expect, and they kind of got bored of it.
Yeah. And they visited Santa for the first time?
Yeah. Oh, my God, it was amazing. They were giving it the big I am, Santa, Santa, Santa. We let them walk in. Ted bowled right up to him, gave him a high five.
Yeah.
Erin looked at him and then immediately looked at you, just went... Daddy.
Yeah.
So
it was nice, magical, wasn't it?
Two types of
twins.
Did
a little woodland walk with them.
Yeah. I loved Christmas with them. It was stressful, in other senses. But actually, those little moments. So right at the beginning of the holidays, Ted went down with sickness and diarrhoea, didn't he?
Mm.
So that was a very intense 5 days.
Yeah.
And what we ended up doing is you went off with Erin and did the Christmassy bits, and me and Ted stayed at home, having all the cuddles, watching Santa St. Bernard's.
Yeah, we're daddy-daughter day, didn't we, at my work scene. So we went up there and bowled around on our own.
Yeah, he was well enough in time. So, yeah, I think next year when they're going to be, you know, approaching three, they're going to start to equate, hang on, the lights, the chocolate, and there's presents now.
I think there's going to be a point where they're even going to probably feature on our podcast. Imagine that.
That would just be weird.
Well, funny, isn't it?
Who's your favourite?
Ask the twin questions.
Who's your favourite parent? So, yeah, it's been a lovely Christmas, isn't it?
Mm.
A lot on. And it is doable. And if you're about to have twins, got young twins, and thinking, yeah, I'm going to be in that boat next year, they're going to be little toddlers, just embrace the fact that they're going to touch the tree.
Yeah.
But they do actually get bored of it quite quickly. I mean, my absolute favourite one is when I went to pick them up from nursery and they had their tree exactly the same, decorated like 2/3 upwards. And I was like, oh, your tree's like ours. And they went, no, Kelly, that tree is because of your children. Ted and Erin have been touching it all day, so I've had to move everything up. And I was like, oh.
Looking back at the history of those photos from last year to where we are now, and how much they've grown up and changed. They're in their little walkers still.
Yeah, they're only 7-8 months.
You know what I mean? And it's just like, it's amazing how far, like, you look back at those, and they're like little bald little babies, and now they're like fully grown toddlers. They're just bowling around. It's just awesome.
Yeah, it was a good Christmas, wasn't it?
Yesterday, I thought I'd just highlight yesterday's thing I keep saying about. I had my first moment as a dad, really not understanding what it's going to be like with my daughter. Me telling her no for chocolate. And she was like, yes. I'm just signing yes. I was
She's like, no, Erin.
She was like, yes. And I was like, no. She's like, yes.
I was it's like, a very strong yes.
Oh, now I know, really. I know what this is going to be turned into.
So I've noticed a big difference, and this is completely normal with twins. There's always one ahead of the other, and also very typical in the way that girls develop. Erin's communication's really come along.
Massively.
I mean, we're talking 2-3 words combined, and you can really gauge what she's trying to say to you.
Mm.
Like, she's really come along. He's still at that one word, still a bit unclear. And a lot of his frustration, I said to you earlier, it's because he can't communicate with us. That's why he's getting upset, because he's going, nah, and I don't know what a nah is. And because I don't know what it is, I can't teach him the sign. The stuff that he can sign, his face lights up when you've guessed it correctly and does that, yeah, and you get that big smile.
Yeah.
Whereas Erin, actually, you can kind of almost guess what she's saying a little bit, and she's just really come along with her language. It's amazing. I mean, Ted's got the comprehension. He very clearly understands. He just is really struggling to get across what he's trying to say, isn't he? But that's blown my mind in the last week, just how much Erin is really talking. And I don't think it's going to be long before we're actually having a proper conversation with her. And I don't mean just her coming up and signing and saying, chock, 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 and then demanding yes when you say no. I mean, she's very soon going to be having a proper conversation with us, and that's both terrifying yet amazing.
How do you feel about it? Like, we only had that conversation today about, like, when you said you wanted your kids and you wanted the twins, and twins are here, and everyone's like now having a full-blown conversation the same year as you thought you were going to have kids.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, so I'm 36 in March, and I always said that's the age I think I want to have kids. I mean, I don't regret having them at 34. Nature had its plans, the universe had its plans a little bit earlier on. But yeah, that's mental to think that if I had that if we'd actually tried for them now, it'd be just different, yeah.
We'd have actually had 2 years of us time.
I know. But, yeah.
Wouldn't change
strange
it.
One, strange one. But, yeah, I mean, that's a big thing. I see this a lot on our twin group, like, oh, they're 14 months, 15 months, they're starting to have tantrums. Yes, that is normal. A lot of it comes from communication. And I think with Ted and Erin, the early tantrums were communication. We didn't have a lot of them because I taught them to sign and they had a way to communicate. Now at 20 months, we're actually having tantrums because I'm saying no when they want something. Yeah. And you see them, don't you? They ask, like earlier on, they were asking for choc choc. Because, I mean, it's confusing, isn't it? For a whole month, you pretty much got chocolate every day from a calendar. And now we're not having chocolate every day anymore. Christmas is over. So they're asking for chocolate. I'm saying no. And then they're having this very dramatic go to the floor and cry tantrum, which is completely developmentally normal. I try not to laugh at them. Probably shouldn't laugh so they can see that. It is a little bit funny. It is equally equally frustrating, but it's also developmentally normal. And I think people say they're terrible twos. Just be fully prepared that they come before two.
Yeah. And that clip that my our mate sent the other day, and he looked like the twins. He actually looked like Erin. And she was like, oh, it's like this girl needs an Oscar.
Yeah.
And I can start to see that happening more and more.
Definitely. So shall we crack on with what we're going to talk about for this month's episode?
Yeah.
Which is one of the reasons why we did decide to take a bit of a break, talking all about parent burnout. In particular, mum burnout.
Yeah.
Which is what I think I did have it, but on a very mild scale.
Yeah.
So, and it doesn't have to just be mums. Dad can have it too. I mean, before we go on to like what to look out for and how I experienced it, have you ever had like dad burnout?
I did have it. Remember in the early years of the twins. And I said to you, I need to get a schedule in place for me to go back to the gym and start working and doing stuff like that. And I was struggling at that time mentally. I think we had an podcast episode on it.
Yeah.
And I was struggling to incorporate a bit more identity time back into it.
So I was going to say, what are the symptoms if a dad burnout, if there's another twin dad listening?
Or the equally girl, the partner.
Yeah, partner, any partner, you know, we're not discriminating, it has to be a male.
No, what I mean is like from a, it's not just a male will listen to us and know that.
Yeah.
It's more like the expectations on a woman feeling it towards the partner. You know what I mean? Look at the signs, no different. I'd want to look at the signs for you.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So what we can look at. So for you, what were the signs of dad or partner burnout?
Highly stressed, like there was no regulation on it at all. For me, like my main things is like struggling to sleep, not always tense. Didn't want to engage with the kids, didn't want to engage with you. A bit of zombified. When you're looking at someone they're in their own head, you can see. And pretty much that, like, I mean, it's a bit different because I work from home, but again, you probably experience a lot of men who, you know, they're working and leaving the door at 7 and coming back at 6, 7 o'clock at night. You know what I mean? Just there's the lack of variety probably that's going on in their life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? For just them to have them time. I think that's probably it.
Yeah. That key word, isn't it? Them time.
Yeah. And I think.
That me time.
Yeah. And I think it's like, yeah, you go to the gym. I go to the gym, I do my running. Like today, I did that running. I was at an hour. I can't emphasise enough how much within my running, I think, and it's not just about thinking about getting up the hill, I really process stuff, going in my head and working out stuff. And you see me, I come back, even if I haven't had a bad day, I come back and I'm even better with my kids, because I've gone off and managed to process stuff, like whilst I was just on the pavement doing stuff. So, like, I don't know, it's a bit controversial, but I do see a lot of posts around the expectations on, like, I'm at home all day looking after my kid, twins, and the husband gets through and he doesn't engage and stuff like that. And it's like, there has to be balance between both parties. But just because the husband or the partner's been out of the house all day doesn't mean that, you know, they've got away from that, because there's still a lot of pressures on men having to be the provider of the family. Like, and also there's an underlining pressures, I think, on expectations on men to not fail.
Yeah.
In society. So, you know, I'm in multiple men dad groups and also men groups, and the amount of guys in there that are discuss openly about the shame of stuff and not wanting to open up with their families because the expectations, they need to be this supportive partner that's got their shit together all the time.
So, having gone through it and come out the other side, what would be your biggest bit of advice?
From both sides, it's communication of what you need, but also you need to have some form of structure in place. We were only discussing this morning, weren't we? Mm. Like, you can't just go, I'm going to go off and randomly do stuff. So you have to have stuff in place, which then means you have to be accountable for that time that's been allocated, and that's on both sides.
Yeah.
So, like, if you want to go out and go to the gym and do something or have your own lad's time, which is equally important, there needs to be an expectation that you need to give back and say, right, you should have your time.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know me of all of it. I always try and push for you to have that as well.
Definitely.
That's pretty much it.
Mm. And very similar to what you were saying, very similar symptoms for mum burnout.
Mm.
So I am pretty self-aware, and I could see that I was heading down that road again, which is why I said I probably had it at a mild case. Having had burnout before, I knew what was coming. I knew the signs. And that's one of the things that, and as you always say to me, protect your energy. And that's one of the reasons why we dropped the podcast, because it was, and I stopped posting on social media for a bit, because it was one less stress for me. And actually, as you know, I'm quite a spiritual person. I did a week off or 10 days of social media, came back, did a post. I was like, this is what I've learned, not being on my phone for 10 days. And then lo and behold, a week later, I accidentally dropped my phone and smash it.
Mm.
And I now haven't had a phone since before Christmas. And I believe that's kind of the universe way saying that break wasn't long enough.
Mm.
You need to take more you time. And so some of the signs that I see, for me, again, it's that very irritability. Less patient with the kids. And whereas before I'd have that compassion, that empathy, I was actually like getting stressy at them for just being whiny. And they're not whining to test me or manipulate me. They're just trying to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
They're upset about something. I just didn't have the patience that I normally did. I go with sleep the other way. I start really struggling to get out of bed. I don't want to get out of bed. I don't want to face anything. I start getting a lot of anxiety, like leaving the house. Whereas like before, I'd be like, yeah, we'll go take the twins on my own, do this X, Y, and Z. Doesn't bother me. When I'm heading towards mum burnout, I get a lot of anxiety. I don't want to leave the house because it's like another stress. And for me, I physically feel stress in my chest. Mm-hmm. Like my chest hurts. I just thinking about things. It's just my chest tightens. And I just feel stressed a lot of the time. So yeah, my sleeping changes, stress eating.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I won't eat all day. Other times, actually, I found this time around I was binging a lot.
Mm.
Which
is even worse around Christmas.
Yeah, because there's so much nice food. So, yeah.
I'm going to binge a changes, whole tub of chocolate.
Sleep changes, appetite changes, mood changes, very irritable, a lot more anxiety, very weepy. Like, if you think about the analogy of a stress bucket, it would be the tiniest thing would set me off on the edge.
Mm.
And whereas before I could handle certain things at work, like it was affecting my work as well. Mm. Lots of things, basically. And I was starting to lose enjoyment. And I'll be honest with people, I've never found it a breeze, but I've always taken to motherhood. It's been fairly easy for me. I've loved it. I feel like I've had the perfect time to have had the twins. I was a good place in my career, had the support, had all this knowledge. And suddenly I hit this wall at like 16, 17 months where I was like, I'd gone back to work and I work with challenging children all day. And then I'm coming home to two full-on toddlers. It started to get really hard. And I started to struggle. And then I had this guilt and shame that I was struggling as a mum because I was the person that does this podcast and I do social media and I help other twin mums. How can I admit that I'm actually struggling a little bit right now? And I had to kind of get over that a little bit. But yeah, I just started to find it hard because now Ted and Erin are like going in separate directions. They're in cupboards, they're on the shelf, they're very, you have to be on it all the time. And they're at that age yet where they can't just go and play nicely. You have to model play. And I was shattered. And it was the first time that I was like, I wasn't hating it, but I was like, I'm not enjoying this like I was at the beginning. And holy fuck, I'm finding it hard. And I think for me, on reflection, one of the biggest things is because I work with challenging children all day. And the first thing to go was that Saturday morning. And whereas before on a Saturday morning, I'd get up and I'd go to the coffee shop or I'd go and sit on the beach with a coffee and then crack on with my counselling work, I just didn't want to get out of bed. And so I'd be like, it's my morning. I'll just sleep in till 9, 10 o'clock. Then I'll crack on with some work. So actually, I wasn't having me time. I was just choosing to sleep and hide and be anxious about stuff.
I hated seeing you going through that. I remember you saying to me at one point, saying I'm not enjoying this life. And it really, I thought, fuck.
If you look back at it, I wasn't doing my daily gratitude journal.
Yeah, 100%.
My diet had gone off. It was very, it's very intense when you've got ill children.
Yeah.
Christmas term as a teacher, and there's quite a few teachers that I've connected with on here that are twin parents teachers because they get it. The Christmas term with children at school is full on. There's loads of changes, loads of demands. And yeah, the biggest thing was I stopped having me time, I think.
100%.
I stopped meditating in the evening. I do a 5 to 10 minute just meditation when the twins go down, whack my earphones on, just take 5, 10 minutes to meditation. I wasn't doing that. I wasn't doing my daily gratitude. I was choosing to hide in bed rather than get up and do some kind of self-care for me. I got to a point of, what's the point in wearing makeup? What's the point in doing my hair? So if you watch on YouTube, you'll see, I mean, my hair is in a mum bun, but I've done my makeup again. I've done my nails again. I've started to, you know, I got to a point, it's like, what's the point of wearing nice clothes? Because the twins just snot all over it. I got into a bit of a rut. And I needed a break. And that's where, I suppose, the Christmas time. And that's another thing. You get the stress of Christmas of, I've got to make it a good Christmas. I've got to get the right presents. I've got to see everybody. I need to make sure the twins are experiencing it and it's magical for them. And you put a lot of pressure on yourself as a mum.
Although I'd say this Christmas we didn't do that necessarily as parents. You know what I mean? Like, put pressure on, Christmas has got to be a great day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We lent into it in just a way of just having... Yeah. I mean, I know you were still coming out of it because I remember... sitting there and just thinking of it as I've always wanted a family, and then I've got a family at Christmas, and it's nice to have a nice sort of Christmas, have a time over Christmas where I had my own family around us in our own house.
Yeah,
I mean. Like Christmas Eve, them doing a little box. Wasn't anything amazing in there? Just a book and a couple of things, but just the excitement on their face. Yeah. It's like, I mean, it doesn't have to be expensive toys or anything like that. No. It's actual, just proper connected time with your children.
I mean, if you're wondering what we did for our Christmas Eve box, we put in pair of pajamas that you got off Amazon, wasn't it? We've got a special Christmas book. I bought £1 toys. So literally a little wind up Santa thing that moves. You know what one's on about, don't you? The little characters, you wind them up and their feet move. One of those slappy wristbands that you slap and it goes around your wrist.
Light. They love the light.
A little torch. I found it. A little torch thing. It was like £1.50. And it's like a torch, but it's got these little pictures in it. And then you put the picture in the torch and then it projects it onto the wall.
Yeah.
They were like a cat, weren't they, with that?
Loved it.
So I literally spent a couple of quid getting little tutti bits. We've got a decent book and a pair of pyjamas. And we've kept all of that. And next year we'll get it all out again. So then they start to build up this rapport of, oh, the Christmas box, we get that book, we get those characters, we get the slappy wrist, we get the torch. And then one, it's cheaper. Two, it builds up like a thing from, and then when they get to a point where, okay, we've been doing this for years, we need to update the box, then we can. I think I started to relax. I actually started to properly relax again when I smashed my phone, because suddenly I didn't have all that expectation of anymore. And I'd had a couple of days, I'd had a week off work by this point, and I started to relax again. I'd started to get up rather than sleeping in the mornings. I had gone to a I went to Starbucks, didn't I, one morning again.
And yesterday you ran your 5K.
Started to be kinder to myself. Yeah, I ran a 5K yesterday. And shout out, by the way, we're talking about running a 5K. So my New Year's resolution is just to move my body. And Saturday mornings, I love going down Deal Seafront with a coffee and just being by the ocean. But I've noticed they do a park run. So I've said, why don't I just go and sit by the ocean and go and do the run? No pressure to, I just want to run it without stopping. No pressure of time. If I've got to walk, I've got to walk, as long as I don't stop. And I got down there, and lo and behold, I'm running. Jamie Culver comes flying past. I look and I see, I think, I know these boys, I know that. Running the 5K, pushing the twins, overtakes me. We're shouting amongst people. It's like, all right, Jamie. It's like, yeah, hey, Joe. It's my first park run. And I think, I was like, it's like, I'll catch you at the end. I was like, yeah, I'll be the one right at the back. Anyway, I caught him at the end. He was late to that park run. So he started it a couple of minutes after everyone else. Came in at 27 minutes, pushing 15-month-old twins whilst running. What a legend. Like, yeah.
I should join him down there one day.
I did think that. I said to him, you do realise that now that you've done it, Rob's going to want to do it.
Yeah, I'm going to start researching into ultra-light, fast twin buggies.
Taking Jamie and the Culver twins
I'm going to take him on. Come on.
The path's ain't that wide. You both can't.
All right, Ted, you better not eat so much today. We need to be lighter, mate.
Have you had your morning clear out? But it was lovely. And it's there were other people there with prams and stuff. But if you've ever thought about doing a park run, they're really supportive. They're really friendly. They're not competitive. And there's about 300 people, I reckon, there that Saturday. They're a nice thing to do.
Running is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Like running, I can't emphasise enough.
Yeah, so that's how I've got out of it, really, is I took a bit of a break. I think the first thing is to acknowledge it. If you are getting weepy, tired, anxious, highly stressed, very emotional, on the edge all the time, sleep habits are changed, eating habits are changed, you're very ratty with your kids, not enjoying life, take a stop and look. You could be at burnout, burnout. What can you eliminate? So for me, the first thing was come on social media. I don't need to be posting all the time. We don't need to be doing this podcast all the time at the moment. Protect your energy, as you said.
But it comes back to, you know, we've said in so many episodes to talk about flow.
Yeah.
It's simple flow concepts. Like if you want a flow in your life that you can just glide through life and achieving stuff. If at any point you're struggling, the concept of flow is you eradicate some stuff that are like not the necessities of your life if you are at that point.
Yeah.
So if you put like baseline flow, not high performance flow, like I'm not going to run a marathon. I need to remove some flow out of my remove some things so I can get into flow of it. Baseline flow is like going back to the basics of like, okay, my identity, my family, like what comes first, you know what I mean? And what is important. So like it's all well and good posting on social media, but like you said, if you're then struggling to hold space for your children, it's not really that important.
No. And I think for me, one, it was recognising it. I was like, yeah, I know these signs. What can I eliminate? Being kind to yourself. So one of the great things, as I said before, about training to be a counsellor is every Tuesday that I go to my training, as I get a mini counselling session with my peers, and you have to have your own therapy. So I'm about to start that. So that's going to be a massive help. And yeah, I say, what can you eliminate? Be kind to yourself. I kept saying to you, I know what the problem is. I've got no me time. And although we, you know, having a lying every now and again is not a problem, but when you're choosing to sleep and hide rather than go and do the thing that we know will make you feel better, that's the battle. Is I know that getting out of bed at 8 o'clock and getting and sitting on that beach with a coffee is going to do me the world of good. But when you're in burnout, that's the hardest thing in the world. I get that. Opening up and talking to someone, reaching out to another twin mum or another parent, because I guarantee all parents get it.
Yeah.
But I think one of the big things that I sort of struggle with, and one of the reasons why I was hitting burnout, is being a working mum. And I think most people can relate to this. When you go back to work as a parent, especially as a twin parent, it's a whole lifestyle change. We've done a podcast on this before, how I transitioned. And here I am nearly a year down the line that I'm well into the swing of work. And it is hard because you do feel like you've got to split yourself between work and being a mum. And there's that famous quote, isn't it? And I really felt it. And it's like society expects you to work like you have no children, but mother your children like you don't work. And that is a really difficult balance to have. And I'm not just saying in teaching, because I should imagine it's in any career, like, and the guilt you feel of it, like a part of the reason as well, 10 Naren have hit that phase where they're very intense and very attached to me. And part of it is because come Tuesday afternoon, they don't see me. They wake up Wednesday, I feed them a bottle, then I'm out the door by 7 o'clock. I do the same thing Thursday, Friday, Saturday morning, I'm upstairs trying to do my counselling work. They pretty much have me Sunday, Monday and a little bit of Tuesday. And I'm feeling like I'm not present enough as a mum. But then I go to work and I'm like trying to do a full-time job in 3 days. And it's like, oh, I'm not quite a good enough teacher. I just started to get to this point where I was like, no matter what I do, I can't get into flow between work and mothering. And it just... everything suddenly seemed really hard.
But we had that frank conversation, didn't we, between Christmas and New Year? About discussing about this, didn't we?
Yeah.
And really pulled in, like, some of the what actually matters in life.
But some of it is pressure. Like, in an ideal world, I would work, I could probably cope, I probably just need to work 2 days a week in an ideal world. But financially, that's not doable. And so many other mums out there financially have to work a set amount of hours to pay the mortgage, to pay for the twins, to put them in nursery. And then you're at this catch 22 of just, you know.
I think it's just parenting in general, though.
Yeah, I think everyone, that's why I know we're talking about mum burnout. And I wanted to be specific to the mums, but we've also put in the partner burnout as well. But I think it's important to talk about and normalize and just what you can do to try and relieve some of that stress, because if you're not good to yourself, then you are no good to your twins or your partner.
Yeah, I think it's a part, like we, like this, the whole thing of our podcast is collaboration. Have to collaborate with your partners,
have to communicate.
Yeah, because it's like there's both sides of the partnership will always struggle at some points. I think it's like Brené Brown was talking about the energy levels, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, what are you at today? I'm at 20%. Like, can your partner support the 80? Because not, and they're saying they're 50, then like, you need to be kind to each other.
Yeah.
Like, and find the 30. How do you find the 30 together? And in one of the actual lads groups yesterday, they were talking about that. In parenting and how to support each other. And there's actually a lot of guys who are saying, like, you know, try and support their partners within those processes. And that actually works, I think that works quite nicely.
Do you know what was a nice thing that we started to do? And okay, this is very specific to Christmas, but you could do it with anything, is we actually went, let's do something nice with the twins as a family. And like, I was really struggling, and especially the winter, it's hard to get out of the house. And one of the things we said was, let's wrap the twins up warm. Let's go for a walk around the village and see the Christmas lights. And we made it a nice, positive, doing something positive and experience with them. If you can get out, even better. That was a nice one, wasn't it?
But also, like, the one...
And like the woodland walk, when to go and see Santa, try and communicate how you're feeling. But, and then see if you can do something as a family, something enjoyable to bring back that joy back, to remember why you enjoy
being...
Do you know
what, of all of them, was, for me...
What?
Is when we were in, we went and had that quick lunch in the little pub near Tesco's, the dinner. We'd gone to Tesco's.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, we thought, I'll just grab, get some food in here and get, like, have some dinner there. Like, the twins, we can feed the twins there. And we didn't have any dinner. We were having dinner at home, weren't we?
Yeah.
And they were in that, they had that little play area. Wasn't it? Mm. And it's such a simple play area. It's just full of, like, the little bits of the beads
and stuff,
wooden toys and stuff like
that.
And they were both running around, and we both looked at each other and both had that moment where we just, like, I don't know, just shared a moment with the twins just running about and being happy.
Yeah.
And just innocent.
So let's start to wrap this up.
Yeah.
Hopefully we've normalised something for you, and... Maybe made you aware of what one burnout is. Maybe you don't realise you're at burnout. And the biggest thing I would suggest, having gone through it and with my counselling hat on, and is number one, is when you recognise these symptoms and you understand what it is, be kind to yourself and think, what unnecessary stress can I cut off at the moment? Is there something that I can say no to? Is there a particular event? Just say no to people.
Yeah.
Like, are you people pleasing? Do you need to say no? Is there a good habit that you've dropped? Like when I said about the meditation, it doesn't, you know, I don't do it once and I'm happy again. You have to compound it. But like something as simple as, can you not take 5 or 10 minutes somewhere for you?
Mm.
Communicate it with your partner. Be kind to yourself. Drop out some of the unnecessary stuff. Say no. Take up a habit that you know will do you good, even though it's hard. Like when I said, I didn't want to get out of bed and go and have that coffee on your own, or go and see that friend, or go and get your nails done, whatever it is. Do something as a bit of me time, and then try and do something as a family outside the house, something small, just to connect you back again and find that reason what you love about being a parent. But my go-to, which you hate, is I get messy play out. That's one of my go-tos of reconnecting with my kids, reconnecting what I enjoy about being a parent, and just also dropping the expectations on your kids. And just remember, they're not manipulating you. They're not testing you. They're little children
They are testing.
They're not. They're little children working out the world.
The last bit I'd like to point out, and this is quite a controversial one, I always say, is like, if you go out saying that thing or that person is causing me stress, then you're allowing that thing or that person to hold the power. So you almost need to flip it and remind yourself that you're causing the stress on what is happening. And that ultimately then changes the outcome of how you deal with that situation. So if you're stressed in particular environments, you're stressed by your partner talking to you and how they speak to you, or you're stressed by, I don't know, friends, family, or whatever it might be that might be going in your life, which is pulling that energy and not giving you the ability to then support yourself as a mum.
Yeah.
Like, it's a thing to flip in your head, because it's a massive thing. Instead of it being blame, it's accountability.
Yeah.
And then you can then say, okay, right, you know, I'm getting stressed because, like you recognised it, I'm getting stressed because of, oh, actually, my expectations is that I've got to post every day, or I've got to do this, so I'm just going to stop doing that now.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, that's gone. So that that's diffused that energy being put into something that's not required.
Exactly. Exactly. I think, well, the big one, I said talk. Talk to your partner.
Yeah.
Reach out to your friends that have got kids. I remember saying to people, is this normal?
Mm.
I'm like, is this normal? And, God, every time that I felt like I'm going through something and like I'm a hideous mum for thinking and doing it, all of my friends that are parents have agreed and gone, yep, it's that. And sometimes that makes you feel a lot better, doesn't it? Having that cup of tea and that chat and knowing you're not alone.
Yeah.
So who knows when I'll be back on social media? Who knows when I'll get a phone back?
Trying to sort it out on me.
But thank you for being patient. Thank you for sticking with us. Thank you for coming back. And yeah, we are going to be back the first Monday of every month
and,
with some more focused, meaningful content, content rather than just doing a podcast for the sake of it every week. We want it to bring value from now on.
And do feel like you can message us like people have done in the past. If you, there's certain things that you might want us to cover. If you're listening to this and you're about to go into this sort of these sort of stages that you want us to cover on other podcast episodes, then feel free to just message us and say.
Rob can still see the messages. Rob is part of the Collaboration Twins Instagram as well.
I know, yeah.
So Rob will get the messages. So even if he gets it and says, this is one for...
This is one for Kelly.
For Kelly, she hasn't had her
Which
phone
is basically
yet.
Pretty much most of them.
Yeah, so still
can you pass this on? Rob's to Kelly's PA. Can you pass it on?
And don't forget, we've got other ways to communicate. We've got the Collaboration Twins Parenting Group on Facebook. Literally type that in, the Collaboration Twins Parenting Group. You have to ask some questions, then we'll let you in. We've got that, which is a good one to be a part of, isn't it?
Should we leave it there?
Let's leave it there.
Thanks for watching, guys, and listening.
Ciao.